We have to continue the pages that you have, even though I know it's very hard and it's very different than what we were learning in Eretz HaTshuva. We're going to be returning to Rav Kook, Mitzvashem, not this week or next week, but the following week. But like we're learning in the Shar Blat of Tanya, there's a Derech Tzara Shiruch and there's a Derech Haruch HaShik Tzara, to take a shortcut through this Sugi of Tera Lishma would be a terrible injustice to the tzaddik. It would be a terrible injustice to the Torah, to what we're learning. So even though I understand, it's obvious that it's not with the same excitement as learning the areas of Torah that we set out to learn. But in order to be able to really understand what Rav Kook is saying and to appreciate not just Torah Lishma, but Bechlal, the whole Inyan of Talmud Torah, which is the basis of the entire Sefer Eretz HaTorah, we have to get this, at least to some degree, we have to get this under our belts. So let's continue. We're on the page, we're learning from Nefesh HaChaim. We're going to be learning from Nefesh HaChaim. And a piece from Tanya. Also have to see a little bit Bach Maharal to set this up, and then to return to the Eretz HaTorah. On that page, on the first page, on the left hand side where it says Perek Vav, it's a little bit past halfway, where it says V'lay Oid. The first word. It's Ad Kan, the first words of that sentence. Ad Kan, V'loy Oid, Ela Kigam Ba'isa Ha'eish, Shadam Isaac B'Torah Lamata. We were learning the Shita of Rav Chaim V'lozhne, of the Nefesh HaChaim, in defining Torah Lishma, L'Shem HaTorah. To learn Torah for the sake of understanding Torah. And that is the definition of Torah Lishma, for her own sake. Not for the sake of Dveikus Bashem, not for the sake of attachment to Hashem. That's the kavana that one has by Kim HaMitzvahs, by all other mitzvahs. But when it comes to Talmud Torah, Torah Lishma means for the sake of being able to understand, to be entirely and completely immersed in what I'm learning, to be mizdabek to the piece of Torah that I'm learning. The issue here is not feeling dveikus. How does this piece of Torah make me feel? The issue is that there is a reality of dveikus. That's what we were learning last time before Yantiv. There's a reality of dveikus. There's the mitzvah of dveikus that takes place by a Jew uttering the words of God. And we're going to see that in that respect, Reb Chaim V'lozhne and the Baal HaTanya are on exactly the same page. They're really on the same page here. But in a much deeper way, they're on the same page. That and we're going to learn very shortly that it's certainly impossible to say that Reb Chaim V'lozhne was ignoring the Tachlis of Tveikus Bashem. It's impossible. You already are learning that. He even said that in preparing for learning, when you sit down to learn, it is definitely important to take a few minutes before and to enter into that frame of mind. And he even allows for a little bit, perhaps in the middle at some point, for a bit of a renewal of that awareness of for whose sake one is learning Torah. The difference is whether or not Dveik is the objective of learning or it's not. Reb Chaim says it's not. The objective of learning is understanding. Dveikus is something that's taking place. You don't feel it. It's not necessarily anything that you can sense emotionally, spiritually. But you should know that when you're saying an aleph, when you're saying the aleph of Anoichi Hashem Elokecha, you're learning the aleph of Eilu Metzias Shalai, when you're learning that aleph in this world, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kivyachol is learning that aleph with you above, and that Yishakem and Yishikas Biyu, he's kissing the mouth that utters those words. And that is the dveikus that's taking place objectively, and through that act of learning Torah, and the tikkun that's taking place in the olam is that a person is able to bring about the Talmud Torah, which, again, Reb Chaim does not argue with the tzaddikim, the Talmud Baal Shem, the Baal HaTanya. This is all coming from the Zohar Kaddish and from the Kisvei Ari. And therefore, Rabbi Chaim says that no matter what part of Torah a Jew is learning, whether it's halacha, whether it's agada, whether he's learning the opinion that is the accepted opinion in halacha, there's an argument, he's learning both sides of the argument, not the opinion that's accepted in halacha, regardless. When the person is oisik in Torah, that the very act of Talmud Torah is itself, by definition, an act of Dveikus, but it's not the objective of learning, nor does one concern oneself with the emotion of Dveikus Tasham, the Shas Ma'isa, at the time of learning. V'loi Oid. And here's where Rabbi Chaim explains what I was just talking about. V'loi Oid. Ella. At that very moment that a person is learning Torah Lamata down here in this world, Kol Teva Shemaitzim Yipiv, every single word that comes out of his mouth, Hein Hadvarim Yaitzim Kivyahol Gam Yipiv Yisborach. Those exact words are coming out of Hashem's mouth. It's something that if a person thinks about can make learning much more exciting. As a person is uttering those words of Torah, then kivyochel, Hashem is saying the words together with the person. Hein hadvarim yotzim kivyochel gam b'piv yisborach, ba'isa ha'es mamish, k'da'ashkechan b'perek kama de gittin, like it says in the first parak of Gittin, the whole ma'isa there with pelegish begiva. It's not important to go into the story of what happened there. But the point is, Gabi Pelegish Begiva Visizna Lov Pilag Shay Revi Avyasa Mazruv Motzala, the whole cause that led, what eventually led to the terrible tragedy of Pelegish Begiva, and the mice that took place between that husband and wife that caused such a national calamity. But the important thing is that in discussing what was it that caused that husband to be so upset with his wife. So it says, Rabbi Yosef, so it's a disagreement, what happened, it's not important for now. So the different opinions, the point is there were different opinions. One was, Rabbi Yossi said one thing, Rabbi Yenison said what happened over there. And then the Gemara says, V'ashkechir Rabbi Yossi l'Eliyo. And it happened that Rabbi Yossi met Eliyo Navi. He met Eliyo Navi. Omalei mai kovi kutcher b'ichu. And Rabbi Yossi asked Eliyo Navi, what's the Baruch Shalom doing? Like, what was the Baruch Shalom involved in Bishas Maise? So he said to him, Amalei Osik bePilagish Begiva, that HaKadosh Baruch was busy with the sugya of Pilagish Begiva. Now it's the same sugya that the Chachamim, that you Chachamim are talking about here on earth. If you ask me, what's the Baruch Shalom doing now? The Baruch Shalom is learning, a Blat Gemara, and he's learning this sugya of Pilagish Begiva. Amalei Osik bePilagish Begiva. Rabbi Yosef is told by Eliyahu Navi that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Osik bePilagish Begiva. He's learning this inyan of what happened over there by Pilagish Begiva. Umay Ka'amar. And what's the Rabban Shalom? What is the Itake saying? What's the Rabban Shalom saying? So what does he hold? Rabbi Yosef asks. Rabbi Yosef is arguing with Rabbi Yonison. So Eliyahu Navi tells him, Rabbi Yosef b'ni kachu aimer, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is quoting, and he says, my son Evyasar holds like this. Yonison b'ni kachu aimer. My son Yonison holds like that. So we see from here that when these two chachamim were Isaac, when they were involved in learning that inyan of Pilagish Begiva, as by Isaac Ace, Gam Hu Yisbarach Shana Devehemamish. The Gemara is telling us that by Isaac Ace, that at that very same moment that Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Anderson are saying over the inyan of Pilagish Begiva, Elinavi was Megala, that at the very same moment the Gemara was saying over this inyan. He's learning the inyan. Yosef says like this, Rabbi Anderson says like that. Gam Hu Yisbarach Shana Devehemamish. Person thinks about that. It's not only Rabbi Yose and Rabbi Yannis. It's every time a person opens up and learns Torah. That goes baruch, the Shechina is shayna kenegdai, mamish, that the Shechina learns with you. And is saying over the Torah with you. V'hu yizbaruch shmai v'dibur ochad. And Hashem and his Dibur and his speech, his words, are one. Which means, in effect, at the time that a person is learning, he's mizdabik to Hashem. He's attached to Hashem. The word of Hashem is Hashem. Shmai v'dibur achad. Hu yizbarach shmai v'dibur achad. Hashem and his words are one. And when a person, therefore, is learning Torah, there is this amazing dveikus to Hashem that takes place by virtue of that very act of Talmud Torah, of learning. It says over there, Lahavas Hashem Lekecha. Chazal learn is talking about learning Torah, and it says over there, uladavka bai, that through learning Torah, uladavka bai, which means, not that that's your objective, not that that's your goal, not that you in the middle of learning you're thinking about God, you're thinking about the sugya that you're in. In the case of Pilagish Begiva, a person's in that sugya in Gittin, whatever that is. But a person should realize that the reality is that at the moment that you are, when you're learning and you're concentrating on what you're learning, whatever that is in Torah that you're learning, that by definition is a ma'aseh dveikus. It's a ma'aseh dveikus. Doesn't need kavanas. Doesn't need any moment of meditation or closing the Gemara. That's a ma'aseh dveikus b'Hashem. So therefore, David HaMelech says, "Ach, there's nothing better than Teres Picha, the Torah of Hashem's mouth. Tovli Teres Picha. Omek Yilibi Samech Ba'amali B'Torah Kedoshah Shebarav Oiz. David HaMelech's heart is filled with joy." Learning Torah. Zameila's struggling over Torah. V'haloyisi alibi shi teres picha. Chazal say, Toivli teres picha. Rabbi Chaim is telling us the meaning of this according to Chazal. When David Mal said, Toivli teres picha, he said, he could have said, Toivli Torah. The Torah is good. Toivli teres Hashem. Hashem's Torah is good. Why does David Mal say, Toivli teres picha? The Torah of Hashem's mouth. What's added by saying that? So according to what we are learning from Chazal, Rabbi Chaim is explaining that Tovli Teres Picha means when I think about this, that the Torah that I'm learning at this moment that I'm saying with my mouth, that's why we learned it's so important to actually pronounce the words, not to read them. That the Torah that I'm saying with my mouth right now, that I'm trying to figure out, I might even be mispronouncing, is Teres Picha. It's Hashem's Torah. It's the Torah of Hashem's mouth. That was that there's a dveikus, yishakeim and yishikos piyo. So I'm saying these words together with the Bari Olam, with the Creator. So he said, that's what it means. Kilibi samech ba mali b'tera kadosh b'avoyz. I have such unbelievable joy when I'm learning. V'haloi si alibi, when I think about it. Shi taras picha. It's not a subject. It's not something, a Torah that was thousands of years ago and there's a book. Taras picha. He's sitting here and I'm saying over Rashi. And I'm saying over whatever. I'm learning a pasuk in Navi. Or I'm learning a Gemara. I'm learning a sefer. And it's Taras picha. She called Teva Mamish Me'at Taras Ni'osik Bokeis. Every single word that I'm learning right now. Hakol Yotzev Gam Ati Yosef Pichi Yisbarach. It's coming mamish out of Hashem's mouth. So David HaMelech says, Toiv li Taras picha. When I think about this, my whole learning is different. My entire learning is different. Well, Achaim, therefore, Rabbi Chaim says, Kol HaTorah, the entire Torah, Kedushas HaShava B'li Shum Chilek, B'Shinui Klal Chas HaShom, the entire Torah, regardless of what part of Torah you're learning, you could be learning Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. You could be learning the pasuk of Shema Yisrael and talking about Yichud Hashem, the oneness of God. Or you could be talking about a pasuk that seems to be the furthest away from anything like God's oneness. Ka'kol dibur piv yizbarach shmai mamish. Every single thing is dibur piv yizbarach shmai mamish. V'mchisa b'sefer Torah ois achas mipasuk aluf timne. And Chazal and the Rambam tell us, all the Svarim explain, that even if you're missing one letter from the pasuk aluf timne, when you in Parshas Vayishlach, when it goes through the families of Edom, which every one of us says we're meichel on the, you know, everybody's meichel on the family of Edom, what about of Esav? It's an afkim in it, whether he has this kid or that kid. So we're meichel on it. But if the Torah says Aluf Timna, there's a lot written about why Davka Chazal chose out of the entire Torah those two words Aluf Timna. There's a very big Indian of fighting against the Klipa of Esav by saying this. I'll call upon it's not for now. But if the Sefer Torah is missing the Aleph of Aluf Timna, which everybody says what an Aleph? Who needs Timna? Who needs the whole Esav? They should all go with the Silas also. And yet, if the Sefer Torah is missing that Aleph, if the Aleph has a piece that's broken, the Sefer Torah is not good. It's possible. Because every single letter, every single crown is Dibur Yizbarach. It's Hashem's words. He nefselos k'may imhaya nechso eisach me'aser sedibris. Same if there'd be a letter missing from the Aser Sedibris. Or you posuk Shema Yisrael. K'may shekosav gam Aram of Zechron Levracha v'mitan d'ver liyo. It's in Perek Zayin, next page. Ulazois. And therefore, Ro'i l'ha'odem l'ha'chin atzim b'chaleis. It is proper that a person should prepare himself at all times. Kaidim shi'as chalilmait. Before he begins to learn. L'hischashev ma'at im kaina yizbarach shumai. To think a little bit, to stop and to pause before you learn, like we see, there's a tefillah k'tzara. But to pause for a moment before learning, and l'schashav ma'atim kaini yizbarach shmai v'taharas alei v'yirz Hashem. To think a little bit about the Rabbanu Shel Olam, to purify the heart with the feeling of yirz Hashem, fear of God. U'lihitarim avanayse behuvei tshuva, and to, before learning that day, or whenever it is that day that you have a chance to learn, for a moment, to try to purify, to do a thought of tshuva, hiruvei tshuva, thought of tshuva. Kedei sheyuchal eskashel esdabik beis oska b'torah kedosha, so that you will be able to be attached to Hashem. Again, not think of God, but through learning, there shouldn't be any thing blocking that you did a little tshuva before, and now your learning will be in this way of Dveikas Bashem. Be Dibur, you'll be able to be attached to Hashem's words, the Ritzanis Baruch Shemai. Vigam Yekabal Alatzmai, and before learning. So in all of this, Rabbi Chaim Volozhiner has no argument with the Hasidim as far as being in the proper state of mind and working on one's Yirat Shamayim. He just says that should be done before you learn. And that's not the tachlis of learning. That's not the meaning of Torah Lishma. And we'll also see that it really isn't much of a machloikis here. And that's what we'll see in Rav Kook as well. V'gam yikabel al atzmo, and also before you learn, you should accept upon yourself la'asayis u'lekayim k'chol ha'kosa b'tayim. And Chaim says that when a person sits down to learn, before he begins, so besides the thought of tshuva and Yerushalayim, he should accept upon himself to observe, to try to the best of his ability to keep what he's going to learn, to live according to what he's going to learn. It'll be a different world to keep what he's about to learn. Rabbi Nachman, as we know, told Rabbi Nosson to change, to make the Torahs into tefillas. That a person should daven up what he's learning. Not just to leave it as something in Seichel, but it should be with a tefillah. Rabbi Chaim Volozhiner doesn't go that far. Rabbi Chaim Volozhiner says, however, that at least before you learn, you should say, Baruch Shalom, help me, that whatever I'm going to learn, it should be not only Lilmud, it should be Lishma Velasis. It's not only just to learn, it should be Lishma Velasis. I should be able to live this way. Help me to live this way. Imagine every yeshiva, if every would begin the day that way, to say together with all the boys, okay, let's go, and to daven a little bit for 2 minutes, and to say it should be in such a way to learn in this, and to begin with this way, and it would be a different learning. So everybody sees here, Rabbi Chaim Volozhiner is very religious. And you could even go so far to say, even though I don't think he would like the word, but it's nothing that's anti-spiritual in Reb Chaim Volozhiner's way of thinking. That's for sure not. As you know, he was a great Makubal and Tzadik Yisad Olam. So v'gam yikabel atzmo la'asos l'kayem k'chol ha'kosu b'toyer sh'b'chsav sh'b'alpeh. That he should find his way in his path. He should daven that through my learning I should be able to understand how to live according to the Torah. And so, when the person wants to learn a Dvar Halacha, it's proper that he should daven. She is a keu. But a person should ask Hashem for help, that when he learns this piece of Torah, that he should be able to come out with the proper understanding of halacha. There should be according to halacha. And that he should be zoicha to get to the bottom of the true meaning of the Torah that he's learning, and that it should be la halacha. And then not only that, Rabbi Chaim says, even in the middle of learning, harishus nesuna. Here he's not as excited about it, but he says one has permission. Harishus nesuna. Obviously, he's more cautious here about what happens during davening. He's not talking about the obsessive tea breaks and conversations that take place, God forbid, during the state of learning. A person has permission to stop in the middle of learning a little bit, zman muat, a drop. Terem yichber milibo yirosi is baruch shemai, so that the so that the fire of Yerushalayim that he ignited in his heart before he learned shouldn't extinguish. It shouldn't go out. Over the time that he's busy concentrating on the learning, it could be that the fire of Yerushalayim will begin to go out. Therefore, Rabbi Chaim says, before he started to learn, he was ma'ir within himself this fire of Yerushalayim, and over the course of learning, it could be getting dim, and therefore Rabbi Chaim says, it's permitted, not obligated, but it's permitted. Just pause for a minute and to be mizbani to think for a moment about Yiras Hashem. Like we have learned from Chazal, the Gemara on Shabbos, Moshel Adam Shama L'Shluchai Halili Kur Shalchitim La'Aliyah. The Gemara there gives a Moshel. A person says to his worker, Halli Kur Shalchitim, take up we'll just say for argument's sake this measure, but it means a core, how do you say in English? A bushel. Take up this bushel of wheat, la'aliyah, upstairs, you know, like they have in the barns up on top, this in the silo up on top. Take this up there. Omaloi Araftali, and okay, fine, the guy does his job. Omaloi Araftali Behan Kav Chaimtin. He asks the worker, by the way, were you careful to put into the wheat, into the bushels, a little dirt and some pebbles and dirt? That's what they do. Were you careful to put some dirt and pebbles into the chitim? It's a kav chaimtin. So he says, Amaloi. The worker says, no, I didn't. You told me to take a bushel of wheat. And that's what I took. I didn't put anything else in there. Amaloi mutav shalei halaisa. So the boss says, mutav shalei halaisa. It would have been better off if you wouldn't have taken anything up. Why is that? What's the purpose of the chaimtin? The Gemara says that the purpose of the dirt and little pebbles were used as a preservative somehow. I don't know, but it's used as a way to keep the grain.
To keep it dry,
I guess, to absorb some of the stuff.
Otherwise and it gets moldy and becomes poisonous.
Yeah, so they have to put some stuff inside the grain. So the boss says, you didn't put any chaimtin in? Motelushal, I wish you shouldn't have taken anything up then. What'd you do for me? So the guy is tremendous because the guy says, no, you didn't tell me to take it. You told me to take up a kosh al chitin. I did what you told me. So the boss is saying, in order that the wheat should be able to last and it should be able to be sold eventually in the market, you have to put in a couple of things in there to keep it fresh and to keep it dry. So Lamutav Shalei Aleisa, I wish you wouldn't have taken the whole thing up there. So what's the deeper meaning there? That's a mashal for what? In the Gemara, it's a mashal. V'kayal emtza ha'esek betulas chachmas ha'tayr. The Torah in many places is compared to grain, to food. The mazon ha'nefesh, it's the food of the Jewish soul. It's the food of a Jew. L'chu lachmo b'lachmai. It's our bread. Our food is Torah. So the marshal of Chazal is what? Rabbi Chaim explains. Shiroi gamkein la'ara b'soichi yiros yisbarach. In other words, it's like Kivyachal saying to us, the Baruch Shem says to us, I want you to put in a good day of learning today. What do you learn? To have a good state of learning. Whatever that consists of in that person's state of. But I want you to have a good day. And a good day means Torah Lishma. Torah Lishma means L'Shem HaTorah. No Chochmas. To understand what you're learning. Put all your Kaychas to understand what you're learning. That's the equivalent of the farmer telling his worker to take the stuff up in the barn. And then at the end of the day, so the Baruch Shalom says, no. You took the sugis up to the top floor over there in the barn. You were learning good today. He says, sure. Did you mix in any chaimtin, which means now in the mussel? What's the nimshel of the chaimtin, of the pebbles and dirt? What? Your shemayim. A little bit of me. A little bit of me of the Bari Olam. A little bit your shemayim. A little thoughts of tshuva. A little pebbles. A little bit. It took every 2-3 hours. You take off a minute, remember. You put in a little bit. The preservative of the chitim of Torah. Did you put in a little? Did you mix in a little bit? That's the mosh. You have to mix in a little bit into the learning. But he says, a little bit. We'll see. He even has ruachim. He even has a shia. He even has an amount. But a little bit of yos shemayim. In order to preserve the Torah that you're learning. If you don't put that ingredient into the bushel of Torah that you're learning, the Torah will get spoiled and it'll get rotten. If it's without your Shemayim before you learn. That's the main thing. And even a little bit in learning. Then it could be that it seems to you that you have bushels and bushels of Torah in your warehouse, but it's all moldy, and it didn't prevent you from doing all kinds of aveiros and talking lashon hara, and after you learn, closing the Gemara and going onto the internet to see, to go surfing to some far away places on the that have nothing to do with what you were just learning. The Torah is not preserved. Your Torah doesn't, it got spoiled without your Shemayim. That's Kedesha Tiskayim Talmud Abiyodai. That's for the sake of the Torah. In other words, even that Reb Chaim is not saying, because it's not, when Reb Chaim says you're allowed to take off a little bit and then during, he's not saying that you should feel Dveikus Bashem. That's not the point. That you should feel and start to cry and get worked up. He's not saying that. Chaim's not saying that. Reb Chaim is saying that it's all for the sake of Torah. Everything. Torah l'shmoz l'shem ha-Torah. But I'm telling you that if you don't learn with your Shemayim, it's going to get rotten. That's the mitzvah. That's how Torah is. It's Torah Hashem. Therefore, it has to be mixed in. With that, it's not like any other subject in the world. If a person reads a poem, he has to be mizdabik in some way. He has to have a shaykhis to the poet. That would be the worst thing in the world, to have any shaykhis to those crazy people. No shaykhis. You have to daven before. Help me, Baruch Shem. First of all, whether you allow, I'm not saying you to read those poems, but if you're reading that poem, you have to daven before, Baruch Shem, help me that this poem shouldn't have any hashpa on me. It's just the opposite. Help me, Rabbi Shalom, that this poem shouldn't be preserved in my life. It should get rotten and spoil and disappear. What do you want to hold on to that? You can come to Shemayim and they ask you, Nasaf and Sadi Bamuna, what? Asaka the Torah. So they say, actually, I read Byron and Shelley, and I read, you wouldn't believe, I read Edgar Allan Poe. I have all of this under my belt. So Nafkimin and Shemayim. In Shemayim, they know who those people were. Even in the world, they have they know who they were. But there's no meaning like that. That a person to be mistabik. So Reb Chaim is telling us that that's for the sake of Torah, not for the sake of the Dveikus Bashem. That's happening. Whatever that is, the Olam is the universe, the world, all kinds of things. Gevalt. But the Torah is not going to be Torah. It's not going to list. It's not going to do anything. Because it's not a book. It's not a subject. L'chein somach etzel ha-brayis ha-tomdi rabbi Yishmol ma'arev odom kav chayptin mekur shal tu'uv v'enachayishish. And that's right next to the Braisa, which is telling us a halacha. V'udin medine gezel, meaning, in other words, putting in a little bit of the preservatives, whatever they are, to keep the wheat. V'udin medine gezel v'ayna, asher mekami v'sedin nezikin, amai shay tahacha. In other words, you could have a taina when you bought, now you're one of the people that bought this bushel from that farmer, right? And you open and you bought, Lama's looking, you bought a core, let's call it, you bought 10 pounds of wheat. What? And you open up the bag, and now you have a taina. You sift over there in the bag, and you find this pebbles and little and some dirt. It's like a dirt mixed in to absorb. And you find this, and you put it on the scale, and it comes out to be whatever. It comes out that there's 10 ounces or something of this stuff inside. So you go back to the soicher, you go back to the farmer, and you have a tiny. You charged me. I paid you for a kushel chitin. I paid you for a 10-pound bag, a 10-pound bushel. And I'm showing you here, this is what I found inside. So in Chayshu Mishpat, in the halachas of Gezel, and I know, is that a taina? Of course it's not a taina. It's not a taina. Because that's the way that it's preserved. In other words, that's the derech of what it means, a kor shel chitim, that it should be preserved in such a way. And it's not measured to say, well, then it should be 10 pounds and the pebbles and the dirt is beyond that or above that, without going into the sugi right now. And like sometimes you could buy coleslaw or something, you know, they start to make this ready-made. I'm not even talking about the whole Indian of coleslaw, because I still don't understand why is it that cabbage should cost nowadays $7, $8. It's something which, if someone could explain to me, I think they only get away with that in the five towns anyway. I don't believe that in other neighbors anybody would ever pay $7, $8 for some cabbage. So, but then on top of that, now they like to have it ready made in a lot of the takeout places. And when you get home, you open up the coleslaw, you see that it's half or two thirds of it is liquid. It's a kershel chaytan, kershel chitim with a lot of pebbles, a lot of stuff inside there. I guess they were worried that over the next few hours that it maybe would spoil without the juice of it. And that's all measured as part of the pound. There's all kinds of exhalus and those that are going on in businesses. But if it's done lahalacha, that's not gzela, it's not aina. Hagam shenira kegezel aina, even though it might look to you like you're getting ripped off, you're not. I'm not talking about the kol sadeh, you're getting ripped off. I'm talking about in this particular case. Hagam shenira kegezel, what the Gemara is talking about, hagam shenira kegezel aina, omnam, Kevin Shakav offer who has Shimur Vakim Shakola Kartua. What the Gemara is saying is, since these dirt and pebbles, whatever they put in there for the preserved, since that's the Shimur Vakim Shakola Kartua, that's what keeps it, that's what preserves it, and a Chayshim Shum Gezel. There's no meaning of Gezel, it's not stealing. Kain, so too, it's all a marshal. That's why the Gemara puts that din next to this. Kain, so a person is able to take some time, a little bit of time, even during the limud, he's able to take off some time. Now it's good, his permission, it's all right. In Ruach Chaim, so how much time? So in Ruach Chaim, at the beginning of Ruach Chaim, which is Rabbi Chaim Elozner's parish in Pirkei Avos, at the beginning, mamash at the beginning, Rabbi Chaim uses the marshal of kav, of the amount of a kav of chumtin, those measurements of a kav in a kur, and it comes out in the cheshbon of Rabbi Chaim. He makes a cheshbon over there. Comes out that in the cheshbon of every 15 hours of learning, listen to this, every 15 hours of learning, you're allowed to take 4 or 5 minutes. Minutes of his bainus niyos shamay. That's the kav and the kur formula. That he, in other words, he takes the Gemara literally. Otherwise, you're stealing from the Rebbeinu Shalom, so to speak, that time of learning, or not called the wheat, who's ever paying for that koil that already were, they already were ripped off a long time ago. If it's more than 4 or 5 minutes, not talking about taking off time to talk about Bernie Madoff, you understand? Talking about taking off time for your Shemayim. 4 or 5 minutes out of 15 hours. That's the solution, the formula, Chaim Velozhin says, of the Kav and the Kur from the Gemara.
Is the coffee that, the preservative that keeps you going? Does that count or it doesn't count?
I don't know what you're talking about. What? Translation?
The caffeine.
Oh. How much caffeine goes into a cup of how much of the cup of coffee is caffeine? I don't know what that is. But anyway, you hear this 4 or 5 minutes. Reb Chaim Velozhin says it in real time. 4 or 5 minutes of Yiras Shamayim in 15 hours. That's how he makes the cheshbon. Mathematically, he makes the cheshbon.
It's like a half a percent.
Yeah. Yeah, Baruch, 0.5%. But that little bit, just like in the bag of in the bushel, that little bit, without it, the whole thing can get spoiled.
Probably meant that the coffee, when you're drinking the coffee, keeps you awake, not the caffeine. The fact that if you go out to get coffee, how much of that can you get? How many cups does a person need to preserve you?
Oh, to keep the person
awake. Is it keeping you awake or is it just killing time? That's what I
think. Oh, I don't.
That's relative.
Could be that.
Something
in your power.
Yeah.
Or it could be killing time.
I'm not a bucky in coffee. I don't know. Man. if you could take that like to Coca-Cola or something, I could talk about it. The coffee I never had in my life. I never tasted a coffee in my life. So, the not only that, but the measurement over there, if you look in Ruach Haim, at the beginning there, Rabbi Chaim Velozhin says, that if it's a little, if it's more than that, or it's less than that, the whole thing can get rotten. If it's more also, he says, you take off more time from learning for Yira, for this Inyan, or less, he says over there, Yirkavu. It could, because the same thing with the bushel, I don't know, people that are familiar with these things, but he says that if you put too much of that stuff in there, into the bag, into the bushel, it's also, it'll spoil. There's a chokhmah to know that it should be the proper ratio between how much of the preservatives and how much of the chitim of the wheat. In learning, he says that's the cheshmah. It's 4 or 5 minutes every 15 hours of learning. So if you learn an hour a day to make a cheshmah, how much time?
20 seconds.
20 seconds. If you learn for an hour, then it's 20 seconds. And that's for Yiras Shamayim. That's a Yiras Shamayim break. Take off 20 seconds from the hour. Not like after you learn something for 8, 9 minutes, then you know you get to lean back and break another chair in the yeshiva and put your yarmulke up. Oh, right? 20 seconds Yiras Shamayim in an hour. It's unbelievable. And that says mutter. That's allowed. Yiras Shamayim. And you don't have to worry, that's not called Bittul Torah. It's not called Bittul Torah. You're okay. Alright. The reason it's not Bittul Torah is because Bitula Zuhi Kiyuma. Because that 20 second break, or the 4 or 5 minute break in 15 hours, that's the key of the Torah. That preserves the Torah. It's not ruining the Torah. It's preserving the Torah. Adkan from the Nefesh HaChaim. Now we're going to stop here. These pages that I gave you, make sure to have them with you for next week. I'll tell you what that's about. This will bring us into the little piece here from the Tanya, and we'll be able to get back, Bez Hashem, into the Aris HaTayim.